Well, I have a word of encouragement tonight, although it might hit that territory you're talking about.
I was going to point that out just before you said that.
What?
That there's like a heaviness or something, you know, that God wants to live by way of encouragement.
Yeah, there is.
I really beat that out before you said that.
And I think it. I hope what it lights up is what the Lord is doing in us. And it encourages us that this is what it looks like, you know. This is, you know, we've been talking about going through scriptures that talk about one accord, the name of this, and we've looked at. I'll summarize a little bit tonight because I know not everybody has been here. There's most of them are in Acts. There's about, we've looked at about 8 scriptures. Now, actually, we've looked at all the ones in Acts that talk about them being in one accord. And it goes from the time in chapter 1 where they gather together to pray because the Lord told them to. They don't know what they're up to, but they are in one accord in prayer and believing that He is going to do what He said. He told them to go to Jerusalem, and they would receive power. So they're camped out there, you know. And we need to take a hold of those words of God and say, "All right, you said this, and I'm gonna be here." And then at the beginning of chapter 2, it says that when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were together in one accord. You remember, those of you who were here earlier, if you were here on the night when I said it, that one accord has to do with being at the same place, at the same time, with the same passion. Those are kind of the compound word, and that's basically where it comes out. And then it says later in chapter 2 that they were continuing daily with one accord. They were in the temple. They were breaking bread. Joyful, glad, simplicity of heart, you know, are the qualities that are going on there. They're still a little united group, aren't they? They haven't hit many radar screens yet, you know. There's little gatherings here and there in the houses and stuff, you know. Then what happens is the Lord starts healing publicly, dramatically, in front of the temple. Some guy who's been lame since birth, and they are immediately on the radar screens. And the Pharisees are upset. The leadership's upset. They pull them aside and intimidate them and beat them, but they can't do anything about it because the guy's healed. See, that's the power of God. And they say that we can't do anything about it because the people are, you know, all excited about this, and we can't deny that this guy's healed. So when they finish kind of beating up on him a bit, it says that they went to their own companions. And you remember we talked about sometimes we really need to do that. We need to go to the folks who hear and know and realize where our heart is and have some kind of kindred spirit in the things of the Lord. And so they go, and it says they told them everything that the Pharisees and leaders had said to them. And then it says, so when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord. Same, you know, they're in the same place, and they have the same passion, but they're under it now. they're not glad and simple and happy and house to house. They're under fire, and they ask in that subsequent text there that the Lord, in the face of those threats, will give them boldness, that they won't be shut up by it. They won't be moved, that He will give them boldness in the face of it. So the empowering is working, huh? Then in chapter 5, it says that through the hands of the apostles many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all in one accord in Solomon's Porch. So they're pressing through this, and they're still functioning, and then the Lord continues to pour out, and the manifestations of it are very evident. In chapter 8, verse 6, after they're kind of scattered out of Jerusalem, says, the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, seeing the miracles which he did. Unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. I can imagine. And I think we do long to see that, huh? More and more of that kind of outpouring of the Lord. And then last week, we looked at chapter 15 of Acts, where there is this dispute and dissension over the teaching that, which is hanging on from Judaism, that you have to be circumcised to be saved. And it says that there, it starts out with quite a bit of dissent and dispute, but looked a lot like it does when we do it, you know. But Peter stands up and said, you know that a good while ago God chose. So why are you doing this, you know? And the fact that God chose brings them back to one accord. You know, that humbles them, the ones who were upset, it says, were silenced. And they come back into one accord based on God choosing and them all agreeing with that. Which is the only way we're gonna get there too, huh? See, so they start out, you know, hoping for something to happen, then they start into some difficult stuff, it gets more difficult, then they're disagreeing with each other. But on the basis of God choosing and showing them and acting, they come to that oneness again. All of those scriptures, all eight of those scriptures use the same word for one accord, and it has to do with the same time, same place, same passion. The last one we want to look at is in Philippians, chapter 2 of Philippians. Now, you know, all of us can relate to some degree or other with the ups and downs of life in the Lord, can't we? We can all relate to the challenges. We can all relate to the buffeting. We can all relate to the opposition. You were sharing some of that earlier. I mean, it happens, and there is no way out of it. You know, it just, the world is full of it, and the enemy is good at it. You know, so that's going to happen. And it has happened to them quite a bit by the time this Philippians is written, you know. So it says at the beginning of chapter 2, therefore, if there's any consolation or encouragement in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. The word used here is not the same one that that has been used all throughout Acts. It is a word that more nearly means one in spirit. It's a compound word too. The first part of it means in close union, and it talks about that close union happening by association, by companionship, by process, and by resemblance. I think the resemblance is we're all children of God, you know, and he's working in all of us. But they come to a close union, but this is in spirit. And, you know, I looked at this, and first of all, I wondered why it's a different word, you know, and I don't think there are accidents in Scripture. I think it's making a point, you know, that in that progression that we've looked at of them starting out praying and wading into the deeper waters as they go along with the Lord. In that whole process of having to dig in with Him, having to believe Him, having to stay bold, having to stand in the face of huge authority and opposition. You know, the highest authority in the land was kind of coming against them, you know. And they said, well, you know what? We got to do what God says. We can't. You choose. What do you think? We should believe you or God? You know, they're able to stand. I think it's what happened at Pentecost, you know. Outpouring of the Holy Spirit so filled them that something happens there that our normal fears are lifted. You know, our intimidation and stuff is, something happens that is lifted. But here they are, one in spirit. I think partly with the Spirit of God and therefore with each other. It's almost like what Paul said, Peter said about God chose. See, they're impacted by the same Spirit of God, and they're moving with Him, and they respond, and that's all they trust. So there is a oneness that comes together in that process. Now, I am noticing a different unity around here. What's all that all about? You know, there is a kind of a movement into unity, an expectation from the Lord, a sense that God is moving, and we are watching, and we are looking for that, and we're going to see that no matter what. You see a similarity? And it has looked funny here and there, huh? As it did to them. If the kingdom is going to come, it will look funny because it clashes with a lot of things. It will clash. And, you know, when the clash happens, there will be reaction and all kinds of things. And then what do we do? We say, oh, well, this could never work. Or what? So here they're coming to a oneness with the Spirit of God, and their spirit is seemingly much more active. You know, I think that probably the most responsive part of us to the Lord, and even the definition says that, is our spirit. So there is a reviving, stirring up. You know, they're spiritually very responsive to the Lord. It says in verse 5, or, you know, I'll just read from where I left off. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. There's this sharing the heart of God there, isn't there? You know, it's not about us being okay. It's about what needs to happen, you know. And then it says in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus. Let it. this is a deliberate thing, isn't it? And actually, it's kind of a command, you know. I was thinking about this, and I think we have to take hold of the word and do something with it, you know. So my idea was in terms of application. And this particular scripture, and in this oneness place, you know, this coming to oneness of spirit, is that in the days and weeks ahead, we ask this question very deliberately of the Lord. Okay, Lord, in this situation that I'm in right now, that I might be worried or fretful or upset about or whatever. What would it mean to let your mind be in me? What would that look like? What would that mean? Here's where I am. What would it mean to let your mind be in me in this, Lord? And I want you to take it seriously enough that we talk about it next time we meet. What happened? What did he say? What's the difference? You know, when I was looking at this, because, you know, they've gone through a lot, and yet the presence of the Lord, the hand of God, the moving of God, the comfort of God, the mercy, the affection, all the things that God does to sustain us in the midst of everything has moved them along, and they're not dampened. This oneness place reminds me of the Lord praying to his Father in John 17. It's actually happening. He prayed it before he left, and it's just happening here. He says in John 17, 20 and 21, I do not pray for these alone, these ones I'm bringing to you, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. This is very real. Very real. And there's the manifestation of it. There's the reality. There's the love of God manifest in lives. See, I think we can recognize this process. The challenges to us personally, the challenges to unity of the body, but we could be encouraged if we see where it leads.
That's right.
It leads to this place. That's the Lord's intent. We got to get through that stuff, but it leads to this place, into being of one spirit together in the Lord, and seeing His kingdom come more and more. I had a couple of observations about this that I'll share. They are observations. They're my observations. I'm not claiming any prophetic wonderfulness here. They are my observations. growing toward this one in spirit looks to me like it comes from being in it together. Everyone bringing their piece and having to bump against each other and all the stuff that goes on there. And over and over and over again, letting the mind or the spirit, the heart of God, be in us and exchanging our own stuff for that. I mean, that's one observation. That's how we get there. There's no other way to get there. It is the way it is. There's just, there's no other way to get there. That's what it will look, something like that, Secondly, I observe that there's a lot of kind of spectator-ness, if that's a word, in the church, Certain things happen up front, and we tend to be spectators. If we stay in that position, these things will not occur. We won't be tried. We won't be challenged. We won't be strengthened. We won't be encouraged. We won't be empowered. We won't have to dig deeper into the Lord. And we can stay pretty comfortable, but we won't get to this oneness place either. It's a dangerous thing for the spectator stuff to go on indefinitely. I mean, you can watch, you can learn, but then, there's some rising up in it. There's some taking hold of it. We've got to be exercised in the Lord if we're going to grow. So that's why I was saying something about this. Let this mind be in you. Let's take him seriously about that. Okay, Lord, what does that look like? I've asked him that a couple of times, and it's astounding, his attitude. one time I was, I think I might even have shared this with you, I don't know, but one time I was, I wouldn't call it complaining, but it's pretty close, about all of this situation and how long it is taking, and it doesn't seem to change, and everything I pour out, it stays the same or relatively so. There's an inch of time, maybe. I was saying, Lord, and I was about there when I got reminded of the scripture. Let this mind be in you, Isaac. Okay, well, I've just said how I feel. What's your attitude about it, Lord? Okay, I'll ask you. And he says, whatever it takes. And I thought, oh, my word. How can you have that attitude? Whatever it takes? I mean, it's like that, you know? I mean, it moves us out of our constructs and challenges them. But I have to tell you, that hit like a blow. I thought, oh. I mean, it really did, because I wanted it to be over. I wanted a solution. I wanted change. I wanted it to come to some kind of fulfillment, you know? But I have to tell you that in seriously entertaining that and you know, kind of deciding to take up that attitude and persevere instead of continue grousing about it and presenting my case and knowing I'm right, that it ought to change, you know, I felt free. I felt much freer moving over there with that than I, you know, I let go of the time frame, I let go of the cost, I let go of, you know, my part in it. Okay, Lord. It's very cool, actually. Although, initially, it was horrifying. An interesting thing happened to me this week. I'm looking at this in terms of the difficulties come to oneness of spirit. I mean, that's the encouraging thing. We come into this place with the Lord that is... nothing's equivalent to it. You know, nothing is equivalent to that, place of sharing His heart and being in His Spirit together. I mean, it's one thing to get one of us there, but to be there as a body, to be there as a corporate, you know, group, man, glorious. So, reflecting on these things, I got a letter this week from the young adult group. They're sending out encouragement letters, you know. And somebody got me. And so they sent me a letter. And this card was in there with it. It's a scripture from James. I'll read it to you. You'll see the connection. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. There's that attitude again, huh? It's worth the whole thing. Okay. I was asking the Lord about this one spirit thing, you know, and here's kind of an understanding I got in response to that. The one spirit place comes from me dwelling within, from your awareness of my presence, and from all of you deferring to me, wanting to, able to, letting my mind be in you. That brings us to this place of one spirit. It's evident that He is working on us in this direction, isn't it? That's the hope. You know, it's very encouraging that God continues to do that. He holds out this place, which has got to be very dear to His heart. It's His prayer to His Father when He's going, I want them to be one with me. You know, that's what I want. So I think it has to do with us lending ourselves to the Spirit of God pretty freely and growing in that and moving in that. And I was thinking that we might do a bit of that tonight. See, it's possible that somebody here needs something from the Lord. That's possible. And and if that's the case, we could gather around and say, Lord, here we are. here we are. Help us, you know, what do you want to say or give or you know, bring to this person tonight? What do you want to do, Lord? Here we are. Bring us into that. Use us. Pour it out. You know, there is a kind of a simple place of taking the Lord seriously. He says he wants to do this, okay? Here we are. We know nothing. You know, we don't know what is really needed here. Maybe even the person saying what they need is not what they really need. What do you say, Lord? What do you want to bring? Bring us into a kind of a oneness in your spirit. Let us move in that. Let us. This, I think it was 39, that song 39 tonight. I thought, man, that is, you hold it all at once, the earth and all within. You look with eyes of love to the sons of man. That I am known by you compels my heart to sing. You know, as we see these things, it is just awesome what the Lord intends. And these things that we're going through, head there. That's where he's going. You know? So, does anybody want prayer? We will promise to do the best we can not to get in the way. Okay. Well, you're close to me. I could drink out of your bottle.
You
want to
be one with you guys. I would bet to be aligned.
Maybe starting with his thoughts about you. I said maybe starting with his thoughts about you. I don't know. That just occurred to me. Who knows if it's me or him? Well, my sense was when I was, you know, kind of. I tell you, when I heard this last night, I had spent some time in these things, you know, and then I got up and I was doing my exercises, and this idea occurred to me. So I don't know if that's of interest to you, but yeah, I was exercising. I do some exercises, you know, morning and night, and I thought, Lord, that's a great idea. So. But I'll turn this off.